And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. It is the first week of college football, and we have a ton of college football content to give you. We're going to break down games. We're going to pick games. All of that stuff is coming later this week. We've got a very special bonus episode coming up. But right now, we have got to talk about a story that Ari Wasserman and I wrote together because it was the only thing anybody could talk about on football Twitter after Sunday. And Ari, you watched this game. This would be IMG Academy versus Bishop Sycamore. Now, I'm not Catholic. You're not Catholic. Those who are Catholic tell me that there's no Bishop Sycamore anywhere in the
good book.
In all the annals of
yeah.
So, but Bishop Sycamore, the initials are BS. So maybe that's what they were going for. This was a game that never should have been played. It was a game between IMG Academy, which is the biggest collection of star prospects and college recruits in the country versus a team that is from a school that basically appeared out of thin air. And we don't know if they were all high school students. They certainly weren't all college prospects. They had no business playing. They had played a game on Friday and then played IMG Academy on Sunday. And ESPN televised all of this.
Yeah, I was kind of giggling to myself a little bit when you said there's a lot of college football this week because we've been working on this story for almost 24 hours going into Monday evening. And, it was a really challenging story to report because, you know, I think we talked to basically every major player that was involved here. We worked together. We got the quotes out there. And, you know, it's one of those stories that when I was reporting it, I felt like I knew less about what was going on than before I made the phone calls because there was just so much stuff to sift through, so many angles to try to figure out. And I think the bottom line is this. There is a high school football program that's located in the state of Ohio that is supposedly posing as a prep school. They're getting kids who feel like they need a second chance at being discovered after a loss of COVID year or any regular year when a kid needs a second chance to come play. It's not clear whether or not they actually go to school or have any academic requirements.
But they've scheduled
basically
the toughest schedule in America. They've created the Washington Generals of high school football to just get smashed by every set of Globetrotters.
Yeah. But this is also a program that claims to have 10 prospects on its roster with FBS scholarships. So, you know, the fact of the matter is I can't even, for a place that is positioning itself as a place that is in existence to help prospects get offers and noticed, I just find it very strange that there's no roster online. And the roster that they give the ESPN commentators was incomplete. And if they have 10 Division I prospects, you're talking to somebody here that is looking at this list of prospects 24 hours a day. I don't know any of them. So it's just, and then you put them on TV and it's not, there's nothing good about it. They're getting their heads beat in. There's no chance of gaining a yard for the most part. Physically, they're outclassed, and obviously most high schools would be outclassed. But these kids have been put into a position to go on national television and play against the all-stars of it was basically the opening in one team, and you know it was like a really hard thing to watch, and it's still kind of a hard thing to wrap your mind around.
It was uncomfortable to watch. And Anish Shroff and Tom Luganville were the commentators. They were clearly doing it remotely. I believe both of them were in Charlotte. The game was played in Canton, Ohio. And it was uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that Anish actually acknowledged it on the air, how uncomfortable it was, and that ESPN had been scammed, essentially. And so what you and I set out to do with this story is just figure out, how did this appear on our televisions? How did this school appear on our televisions? And, you know, it starts with a coach named Roy Johnson, and this is not his first school that has appeared out of thin air. There actually was another school in 2018 called Christians of Faith Academy, which allegedly was tied to a church, the AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and it was disavowed by this church, and they were going to play a schedule very similar to the schedule they have this year, but it sort of fell apart. One of the games they had scheduled was IMG Academy, and now there's been a lot of turnover at IMG Academy since then, but I talked to somebody who knows exactly what happened, actually several somebodies who know exactly what happened, and basically what happened with that one is the same guy got in touch through another guy. By the way, this cast of characters just gets wild. So there's another guy who brokers these games, who he plays matchmaker and does it kind of as a labor of love, and his name is Joe Maimone, and his day job is the VP of sales at Billboard Magazine. Like, the name, I was told the name, I Googled the name, and I'm like, well, there's the VP of sales at Billboard Magazine. That's obviously not the guy you're talking about, to the person who told me the name. And they're like, no, that's the guy. And so you talk to him, and he matches these teams up?
Yeah, so basically he has the 9-to-5 job, but this is his labor of love. And he has created actually sounds to be like a really great business, where he has certain clients and they has a database of schedules. And when programs have a hard time getting a game, they contact him and he puts it into his database and cross-references it with other programs that need a game and then brings them together. And I think he even referred to himself when I was on the phone with him last night as a matchmaker. So that is that. And then he puts them together. They sign their contracts or their deals or whatever. And then it goes on to the next thing. So like his involvement in this was, I think, the initial contact between the two schools. But I don't really know that he went all that far into. I mean, at that point, his job was over.
No, it goes into another. There's another set of middlemen here. But in 2018, what happened was initially the game was supposed to be played in Columbus, where Christians of Faith or Bishop Sycamore, or whatever they were calling themselves, was at. And then after a little while, they get a call at IMG saying, hey, we can't get a stadium, so we're going to need to play down in Bradenton where you are. And IMG's like, okay, sure, sounds great. A few months after that, they get another call. Hey, we're going to need you to front our travel costs down to Florida. At that point, the IMG people go, something's up here. There's something fishy about this. And so they cancel the game. And that whole season essentially winds up getting canceled because the Ohio State Athletic Association just, you know, basically says this is not a real school, this is not a real team. And so that schedule falls apart. But undeterred, Roy Johnson comes back as Bishop Sycamore. And in 2020, Bishop Sycamore played 6 games. They played 5 games against really good Ohio teams. They lost all those. And 1 game against IMG Academy, which needed games because its 2020 schedule fell apart because of COVID-19.
Yeah, and then here we are, right? I mean, and we're in a situation where, you know, if this game wasn't on television, and that's something that both Roy Johnson, the coach, and Andre.
Well, I'm talking about last year's IMG.
Yeah, yeah.
So IMG knows all of this.
Right.
IMG knows what this thing is, and yet when the idea of playing them this year is proposed, they're like, yeah, sure, let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're IMG, if you can even tell the difference by how many, you know, teams you're demolishing, because, you know, every week probably looks very similar to that. But, you know, that's the thing that makes this year's version of it scary, because if it wasn't on TV, we wouldn't have seen it. It would have just been another blowout, and it might have gone under the radar a little bit. But the fact that this was on TV brought more attention to it.
And the biggest problem is that this school, Bishop Sycamore School, I'm using air quotes here, played a high school in Pittsburgh on Friday night and then turned around and played IMG on Sunday. And you talked to Roy Johnson, and he said, oh, no, there was a little overlap. We were just trying to get a little work in. But there wasn't, you know, there wasn't guys playing in both games. Yeah, there were. The videos pretty clearly show that it was both were the same teams.
Yeah, and I mean, he was trying to explain it to me as like, well, if you don't practice during the week and you play a few in the other game and a few in the other, it's kind of like a scrimmage. And it's like, no reasonable coach in any level of football would schedule two games in a three-day period, and the second of which against the Little Giants, Dallas Cowboys opponent. You know, like, it's like, you know, right. IMG was waiting for them on the other end. And their quarterback, bless his heart, was, you know, he was hammered that entire game. And it was just like, at a certain point, I was like, are they going to shut this game down?
And their offensive line? Yeah, I mean, I'm watching their offensive linemen just get destroyed on every play. And then whoever had the ball was basically getting his head
I mean, because you're talking about guys on the other
and over
on the other team. It's like, you're not even just playing another team. You're talking about guys who are going to Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, or have offers from those programs. And those were the types of program offers that Roy Johnson and the rest of his crew want to make you believe that his pro players have, and anybody can see that they don't.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
You and I both talked to a parent who had what was supposed to be the quarterback of that team. His son was supposed to be the quarterback of that team. It was a guy named Ray Holtzclaw. His son, Judah, played in Ohio, had his senior season kind of wiped out by COVID, didn't really get a chance to perform for scouts. And so he's a class of 2022 guy who, you know, or was he class of 21 or 22?
21.
He's class of 21. Yeah. So he was going to do a postgraduate. And that's the other thing. They have presented this as a high school when it's actually more of a prep school with a bunch of postgrad guys who we don't know how old they are.
Yeah, and when you look at what they're selling, you know, they're selling another chance to play football at an organized level without using your eligibility, because I think that the NCAA rule is that if you take a gap year, which is a year from the day that you graduate, you can get things in order without impeding on your eligibility.
Yeah, you can do a post-grad year, and you've seen guys do that at, like, Fork Union Military Academy. There have been plenty of stories of guys doing that.
Yeah, so what the Holtzclaws were trying to do were to put their son in a position to play quarterback and to put himself in a position where he's playing against IMG on TV under the understanding or the thought that they were going to have a very good football team around them that could compete. And as things were going on and they were trying to get through the summer and go on camps, and nothing was adding up. You know, hotel room bills weren't being paid. Equipment wasn't showing up. Organized practices were impossible to find. They couldn't meet most of the team. The offensive coordinator and defensive coordinators were nowhere to be found. And at a certain point, they're just like, you know what? We can't do this. You know, you're only able to get dragged along so far before you kind of come to your senses. And, you know, now he's at Youngstown State, and he was a very good athlete, you know, somebody who had a recruiting profile and actually was legitimately a player that could have really done something. So I'm very curious to see how his career pans out. But, like, the hardest thing...
Yeah, he's going to play tight end at Youngstown State now.
So I want to say that I feel really bad about the kids who are on the team. Like, there's real...
I think they've been duped.
Yeah. So, and they're going out, and they're playing hard, and it just, like... You know, I kind of understand, like, in theory, that if this were to exist, how this could be a benefit. But it's just clearly not done the right way. And no matter how you couch this, it's just not the right deal.
Yeah, and it was so uncomfortable to watch. And that's the thing that just kept going through my... How does this get on ESPN? This wasn't on, like, some local station. It wasn't a streaming thing. This was on... ESPN, like, used to be in 100 million homes, ESPN. It's still in, like, 80 million homes. ESPN. How does that happen?
I mean, aren't you kind of almost thankful that it did? Like...
I guess so. Well, as of right now, we're recording this Monday night. The other games that are on their schedule are still scheduled. These are teams that are going to smash this team. And... So hopefully some people are paying attention. My guess is after this, all of this attention, that's going to change.
Yeah, yeah. It's also like the question of how are they getting down there is still going to be a thing. You know, and actually...
right, who's paying for
it? Ray Holtzclaw, the father of the Westerville prospect who's going to Youngstown State, grew up in Dallas and apparently has gotten in contact with the Duncanville coaching staff to tell them what was going on. So, like, it'll be very interesting to track and see if they continue to play games, but... You know, it is kind of an interesting thing because when you are watching games on TV, I mean, especially high school games, you give absolutely zero thought into how it's brokered, who created the matchup, who signed up the ability for this to be televised, and how much vetting goes into the schedule from ESPN. And when you come in to find a story like this, it's basically like you've got four different people trying to make this work, and ESPN... doesn't really seem all that involved in it at all.
No. So there's a company called Paragon Marketing that puts these games together. And I talked to Rashid Ghazi, who is the president of Paragon. And he's got a really interesting background because he's been working at this company making high school games for television, packaging them for ESPN, producing and packaging them mostly on ESPN's family of networks. So... he was the one who first put LeBron James on TV. Like, remember when Vincent St. Mary played against Oak Hill in 2002? That was the first time most of us saw LeBron James play basketball. He put that together. There was another game. I vividly remember covering this, or watching this game on TV because I was covering the University of Florida at the time. But it was St. Augustine Nice versus Hoover High in 2005, and it was actually the first game that appeared in this kind of time slot, the week right before week one of college football, which is now, after that one, ESPN's appetite for these games increased, but it was Tebow versus Hoover, and originally it was supposed to be Nice versus Lakeland, which would have been Tebow versus his future teammates, the Pouncies and Chris Rainey, but they couldn't get Lakeland, so they get Hoover, which at the time, there were cameras following Hoover High around, for the TV show Two-A-Days that came out on MTV the following spring. And if you recall, that's the show where Jeremy Pruitt was the DC at Hoover, later went on to coach Tennessee and some other stuff. He was pretending not to know what asparagus was. So that was fat. Like, people were watching that game. Social media wasn't really a thing at the time. I mean, Facebook had only been invented a year earlier. But I remember there being a distinct buzz about that game when I talked to people, everybody had either seen it or seen the highlights. Like, did you watch Tebow? And Nice lost to Hoover. But that sort of wet ESPN's appetite for other games. And I realize I've been to some of those games that went into this thing. Burns in Duncan, South Carolina, went down to Fort Lauderdale and played St. Thomas Aquinas one year. It was Marcus Lattimore.
Yeah.
For the Burns team, LaMarcus Joyner, James White, Giovanni Bernard, all those guys on St. Thomas Aquinas. These are the types of games we're talking about. Like Miami Northwestern versus South Lake Carroll. Huge matchups. And if you look at the other five games that they made for this weekend, they're legit teams with legit prospects. So how does this one fall through the cracks?
There's a legitimate interest in this. You know, as recruiting continues to be at the forefront of college football fans' consumption, you know, being able to actually watch them play is different than seeing a highlight film or a recruiting profile. And look, we're all talking about it. A lot of people watched it. So, I mean, that's a thing. Now, the thing that I find most interesting about this, Andy, is that Joe Maimone, the broker that we talked about earlier on that got these two together, brokers some of the best high school programs in the country. I mean, there's 16,000 high schools playing high school football, and according to what he told me, like, he is responsible for matchups that Bishop Gorman, IMG, Don Bosco, some of the biggest names, and so yeah. Like, well, and the way,
and you got, you and I have covered recruiting for a long time, and I feel like we didn't know a lot of this world existed until we started.
That's right.
On this
yeah, story. And I just like figured that the games that were going on ESPN were always just obvious. If you said, from a person who covers recruiting, that IMG is playing Bishop Gorman, like, you would know that. Or St. Thomas Aquinas is playing Don Bosco.
Right.
Like,
you'd think the ESPN staff that follows this would be like, well, I've never heard of that school, and I don't know any of those players. So ESPN punted all the blame to Paragon. And Rashid, the president of Paragon, to his credit, took all of the blame. He said, it's 100% on me. I should have vetted it. They got a roster, I want to say, in the spring. They didn't go back and check to see if any of those.
I don't even know where you
team.
Would go check it. I tried all day to find a roster. I couldn't find one.
Yeah. And the guys that were on the team, we found some names, and you look them up, and there are 24/7 profiles for some of them, but some of them are like the wrong recruiting year. They've reclassified. The offers either are made up, or there was one recruiting reporter in Florida said, yeah, one of those guys who played was a class of 2020 kid from Florida who had tried to get into a seven on, or get into a camp with a fake ID.
Yeah, Andrew Ivins of 247 Sports. Who's in my fantasy football league, by the way.
Is this the first time somebody's tried to use a fake ID to be younger?
I guess. And the thing I don't understand about recruitability, like, if you want to be recruited, using a fake ID or being deceptive about your identity is eventually that if somebody actually likes the way that you played, or they're going to find out. Like, there's no faking your identity to be younger. If you want to go to college, they're going to figure out you're not eligible.
Exactly. I mean, this isn't like, remember when there was the 30-year-old guy in Dallas who got on the high school basketball team, just go swat a bunch of kids shots, but like, this isn't that.
Yeah.
This is guys who think this will get them into college and will get them seen. All it's getting them is beaten up on national television.
And you want to know what the most frustrating thing about this is for me? Is I'm trying to figure out what the goal of all this is. And I talked to...
Right. What's the financial piece of this? And honestly, after we talked to everybody, I'm not sure how that works. I know, you know, if you read... Andrew King is a reporter in Columbus who did some spectacular work on that Christians of Faith Academy. Did like a big six-part series for one of the community papers there, and really delved into all that stuff with lawsuits and court documents and emails. But basically, all it showed was that Roy Johnson leaves a trail of unpaid bills wherever he goes. But I still, I don't see, like, there's not this huge financial benefit in doing any of this.
Yeah, and the way, like, I asked bluntly, the Holtzlaw family, how much money they were asked to spend in order to get this done, and he told me that they were over on the hook for $1,500. So if you...
Which is less than, like, the scam recruiting service guys charge. Like, there are scammer recruiting service guys that will say, well, I can get your kid offers. You just pay me $5,000. That scam I understand. I understand how you're getting the money. I understand how little work you're doing for the money and what you're getting out of it. This feels like a lot of work.
Yeah.
And not
a
much
lot
money.
Of work. A lot of... And then the thing, too, is that, like, apparently they had real buses on camp tours and hotel rooms and apartments these kids moved into. And all, I mean, like, the operation goes deep. So, like, I don't even know, like, what the end game is. Because I told Roy on the phone, I said, hey, this doesn't add up. If you've got 30 or 40 or 50 kids on your roster and they're all paying $1,000 or $1,500, that gets you to $75,000 at most, and that's not enough money to
barely cover and travel to a game.
Buses, equipment, video equipment, film, all sorts of things, salaries for coaches, you name it. So, you know, it's just like, to me, there's got to be something else here, because it just doesn't... The most frustrating thing about covering the story, Andy, is that they had an explanation for everything. They're very charismatic, and you want to believe them, and part of me wants to believe them. But no explanation given for any of the things that don't add up adds up. There's no, like, oh, okay, that makes sense. It's just like, okay, that sounds like it should make sense, but when you really start thinking about it, none of it really does.
Yeah, it is bizarre, and I just don't know. I don't know where it goes from here. We'll find out. I mean, by the time you're listening to this podcast, those other games may have been canceled, because there's a lot of scrutiny. We're not the only people writing about this, and my guess is there's going to be quite a bit more that comes out. But ESPN has got to take some more blame than it has. I mean, you put that on your air. You can say that the company you were buying it from didn't do its due diligence. But at what point do you need to do some due diligence for what's on your air? Like, you and I, if somebody came out and made a bunch of false accusations about somebody else, and we just printed the false accusations and didn't even try to get the other person's side of the story, like, we'd probably get fired for that, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's what made this so incredibly difficult to write, because... You know, you have one side saying one thing. You've got one side saying the other thing. You have the context of what we saw on television, you know, what happened and everything. And then you have another side telling you the exact opposite. And there's no way to irrefutably prove what someone's motive is or what they're trying to do or if they're trying to scam people or if they're actually have a heart that's in the right place. And we have to write a story that contextualizes this whole disaster of a situation when I can't even locate the address of the high school because there isn't one.
We've seen like 5 different addresses and they're all for things that aren't...
Schools.
Yeah.
And 5 different rosters. And this is the other thing. I asked bluntly Coach Johnson... Give me 10 recruits on your roster who have Division I offers. And he gave me 10 names. I wrote the names down, and only 2 matched the roster list that they gave for the announcement or for the announcers. Nothing's making sense.
No. And so you saw it play out on TV. I guess, you know, maybe it was good that it wound up on TV because it exposed this. But... Still just don't understand how, if you're ESPN, you let this happen.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, it's funny too, because part of the reason why I was, you know, even the attention was drawn to me about this game is that I spent 10 years of my life living in Columbus, and I had never heard of this, you know, and people are like, look at this, it's on TV. I was like, I don't know what that is. And it's just like, you can't put something on ESPN and like expect that people aren't going to pay attention to it. And, you know, I know part of it too is that blowouts happen every day. 58-0 isn't an unreasonable score that you would see at a high school football level when there's a major mismatch. But it wasn't, it's like I always say when we're talking about Nebraska and college football, it's not always just the score too. Like, if anybody watched the game, and it's on YouTube, and I watched it again, It was physically uncomfortable.
It's apparently been removed from YouTube,
oh, it
by
has?
The way. I just got a message from one of our editors. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So ESPN's trying to scrub it. Now, look, is ESPN's the rights holder, and it's their right to tell third parties to scrub that from YouTube. But, you know, I would want to destroy the evidence, too, if I were them.
Yeah, it was genuinely uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah. Well, that's just... I guess it's a good lesson for all of us, and you and I kind of went in on this into this weird rabbit hole together, and found out about a part of the high school football and recruiting world that we didn't know about before, and now we know some much more interesting people. So, I guess the moral is, if it doesn't add up, don't put it on TV because people will start asking questions.
I just want to say too. That there's been a ton of stories about Sycamore on Google. It's been kind of a Twitter culture sensation. Andy and I busted our asses on this story. I mean, we spent the last 12 hours on the phone, not understanding each other, quote sharing, call sharing. Did you call this guy? And we think we put together a story that actually tells the story. It's not just a bunch of tweets. And I would really encourage you, if you're a... Athletic subscriber, to please read the story. And if you're not an Athletic subscriber and this interests you, please subscribe to read the story, because this is the hardest I've worked on a story in a long time.
It was really interesting. I was up till 4 in the morning last night just going down different rabbit holes, because it was so fascinating to me, because the question just kept coming back. How does this get on television?
Yeah.
And we know. when you got a bunch of middlemen and everybody passes the buck, that's how it gets on television. So now you know how a little more of the sausage is made. We'll talk to you tomorrow.